Well, if you have your notes, we're going to talk about the secret place. And actually, it's been a few months I have been meditating on this and learning to hear the voice of God. I'm beginning to understand that sometimes the voice of God sounds just like your teachers. There was one morning I woke up and all I could hear was Brother Bill Norton. And he was talking about the secret place, you know, that he had shared with us. And so usually around September is when I really start seeking the Lord for the new year. And so I'm like, Lord, this is an old word, you know. And he said, no. He said, this is an on-time word. It's all the time. You know, it's never obsolete. So that's what I've been meditating on. And I kind of get the sense that God is going to be taking me a little deeper in this. But what I'm at liberty to share tonight is only as far as I've gotten, you know, and what I have. So what he's given me. But in Psalms 91 and 1, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So that begs the question, what is the secret place? Psalms 31:20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. So number one, the secret place is a hiding place. Number two, it is God's presence. Number three, the secret place is a place where the enemy cannot touch us, whether it be through circumstances or persecution by people. So it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what your trial is. It doesn't matter what your situation is, your circumstance. There is a place in God that you can go to where the enemy cannot touch you. That is the secret place. Then Jesus tells us in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we have to dwell in the word. We have to put our focus on Jesus. We have to make a commitment to put the word of God first place in our lives and do what it says. And the only way that we can do that is through the word, knowing what it says. And then in 2 Timothy 3:11-12, it says persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, this is Paul, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we just have to know there are going to be some things that are going to happen to us. But be of good cheer. Jesus said he has overcome the world. And then fourthly, it's a place where I choose to go and dwell or not. So it's a decision that I make, because it says he that dwells in the secret place. So we have to choose to go there. And this secret place, it's a fixed place. It's a position. It's a place that doesn't change. It's not going anywhere. And the way God explained it to me is that, you know, we live in houses. Does your address change every day? You come and go in and out of the same house at the same location every day. And so that's where God is. It's a fixed location. And so that's where we are to dwell, in that secret place. How do I enter into the secret place? Psalms 91:2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. So to fill in the blank, it says that I must say or declare what God is to me by speaking forth my faith in the midst of my battle. So it doesn't matter what you're going through. Again, you have to speak forth your faith. And the only way that you can do that is you have to have a promise. That's warfare. You have to know what God has said, and you have to know that you have deliverance because you have the victory. And again, be of good cheer, because that's what Jesus told us to do. Psalms 31:14, King David, who I love reading in the book of Psalms. I love reading King David, his words. They were so passionate and so filled with the heart and love for God. And he says, "But I trusted in you, O Lord. I said, you are my God." I can tell you that when you are going through a trial, there are times when you may be so full of the word, you just know, hey, you know what to say. You say it and you go on about your business. But then there are times when you're looking around and you don't know what's going on. You don't know how did this come about. And it's just an attack of the enemy. And you may be crying. You may have to get down on your knees and fall out, whatever. But you can still say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. But I'm trusting you. Because he can bring you out. Amen. So what are you saying about the Lord as you go through your battle? It may be your health. It may be your finances. But whatever it is, what are you saying? It's not about what everybody else is saying. It's about what you're saying, and it's about what you believe in your heart. So what happens when I speak of God in my situation, releasing my faith? Psalms 91 and 3. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I can of a certainty be assured that God goes to work on my behalf. Surely. It doesn't sound like a no to me. It doesn't sound like a maybe. Let me think about it. Surely he shall deliver me. Surely. Do we have that type of confidence in God, really, to where we can say surely? Because, you know, sometimes you may be in a situation and you may be around people, especially in your family, they not surely. They're not speaking surely because they don't know. But if you know God the way that you say that you know God, you're going to raise your hand. You're going to say, wait a minute, but God, surely he will deliver me. Whatever it is, God says, surely, surely he will deliver me. How does God protect me in the secret place? What is my protection? Verse 4. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. And I looked it up on the internet, and I was looking at the hens protecting their chicks. And it was one, and I was like, how are all those chicks going to fit up under there? But somehow, some way, they got under there. And then I saw another video where she was protecting her chicks from a dog or something. And I tell you, that hen was mad. So I'm just thinking about this, you know, I'm looking and I'm talking to God about it, and I'm like, God, you get that mad over us. When the enemy comes against you, you better believe that God doesn't like it. And he's going to come to your defense, and you have to know that. I mean, especially for those of you who have kids, you know how it is when your child comes and tells you that somebody said something to them or did something to them and you don't think it's fair. How do you react? Well, let me think about it. I just don't know what we're going to do. No, you are passionate. You want to know the details. You want to know this, that. You need to go from point A to B to C. Okay, I got your back. I'm going to go see about it. Now, I'm the type of parent, I don't go crazy and I don't go ballistic, but I do want to understand and get both sides of the story. And then we're going to talk about it. But my defenses are still up because that's my child. You understand what I'm saying? So when the enemy comes against you, you have to know and understand God got this. He is passionate about you and about what you're going through. He is passionate about what the enemy is trying to bring against you because he knows what he has done for you. You know, Jesus, if we really put the value and the worth on the cross that we should, I don't think there would really be any doubt or any question of how much God loves us. Because sometimes it may be hard to believe that you can really experience healing in your body when you're suffering. But just think about how much suffering Jesus did. He suffered so much more than what we suffer in this earth. I mean, he suffered so much that he didn't even look human. And I just imagine every disease that mankind has ever known or ever will know entering into his body, every affliction, every deformity of man that we could ever dream or imagine, Jesus took that into himself for us. So what value are we placing on him? Just think about it. So what is it that protects us? It is his truth, the word of God. Jesus himself is our shield. He is the target of the enemy's arrows, and he is our buckler. He is the shield that surrounds us. And he quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked enemy. And that's according to Ephesians 6:19. So it's the word of God in you that you speak for in your trial, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your circumstances, that is going to protect you. But you have to speak it. You have to know it. You have to know it. There is no fear in the secret place, no matter what is happening all around you, because God is with you and nothing can approach you to harm you. Nothing can approach you to harm you. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High your habitation, there in that secret place of God's presence, it will not touch you. No evil will befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. And I want to plug in something right here. I have a book that I have read years ago. What year did I buy this? January 2010. But it is a very powerful book. It's called Psalms 91. God's Umbrella of Protection, and it's by Peggy Joyce Ruth. And it's very good. I mean, she goes into a lot of depth, and a lot of detail. But she mentions John G. Lake. He is one of my favorite people to read about. And I just want to read this excerpt because I think it's such a powerful testimony of his belief system. She says, I have often read accounts of the time when John G. Lake took fraught from the bubonic plague in his hand and placed it under a microscope where people watched in amazement as the germs literally died instantly on contact with his hand. I was puzzled for years, wondering what kind of anointing he possessed to bring about that kind of supernatural phenomenon. Nothing could have pleased me more than when I learned Mr. Lake's secret. His wholehearted belief in the Psalm 91 covenant umbrella of protection that God has provided for all of his children who trust his promise more than they trust in what they see and feel in this world. And that's just powerful right there by itself. On page 340 of the book, The Complete Collection of His Life Teachings, Mr. Lake made the statement that confirmed the secret to his supernatural protection. For many years, God kept me so that sickness and death could not touch me. From the day that I saw in the 91st Psalm a man's privilege of entering into God, not only for healing, but health and having God and the life of God in every fiber of his being. How awesome is that? That is a powerful belief in the Word of God. And there are accounts where he was working with this doctor and he had not been inoculated against the plague. And when the doctor found out, he was just like, oh my God, how can you be doing this? And so what he did was he stuck his finger in some of the discharge, you know, from some of the people, put it under the microscope and told him to come look. When his finger touched the slide, all the germs died. That's how powerful the Word of God is when you believe. I dare you to believe. Amen? I dare you to believe. So we have to make the Lord our refuge. We have to go to Him. We have to run to Him. And He has to be the one that we go to for everything. Amen. We have to know that there is supernatural, angelic protection that is available to us as we continue to speak forth our faith. Verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So we have angelic protection. And we have to know that when we confess God before men, Jesus confesses us before angels. In Luke 12:18, Jesus speaking, he says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men," and I don't think that's the right verse, I put it down wrong, "him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." So you need to know that angels are listening. They are listening to what you are speaking. And they are given their assignment through what they hear you say. And I know you've heard many teachers who have said, your angels don't have any work. I mean, and because I can attest to that, how many times do you just shut down because you really don't know what to say? You know, sometimes the enemy can put you in a hard place. He can put you in a place where you really don't want to speak because you really don't know if you have the faith to be released over your situation. But I can tell you from experience, when you don't feel like you have the faith, and maybe that word is not built up in you the way that it should be built up in you, just pull it out and continue to speak it. Continue to sow it, to plant it in your heart. Keep it in your eyes. Keep it coming out of your mouth. You need to do whatever you need to do to get built up, rooted, grounded, and established in the Word of God. Because the Word of God contains the love of God. And that's what's going to propel your faith in each and every situation that you face. So you need that. And it only comes through the Word of God. Amen. So we have to continue in the Word. It is very important what we speak especially before others. Very important. Because sometimes people don't know what you're believing because you're not speaking it. And if you're not speaking it before people, then obviously you don't believe it. And you're not going to get the reward. You're not going to get the fruit that comes through your faith being released as it should. Amen? I need to know that if I continue in the word of God, that my enemies are defeated. My enemies are defeated when I speak the word of God. And I'm rambling because I'm trying to figure out my notes, y'all, so bear with me. Let me open my Bible here because it was something I wanted to. So it says, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, you shall trample under feet. But how do you do that? It's not in your own power. It's not in your own strength. But it's simply through you speaking forth the word of God in faith. It's the word of God. It's not you, but it's the word in you. And you have to know that. There is no way around that. And then in the last verse, verse 14, this is where God begins to speak. And when God begins to speak, something happens in our situation. And let's see what he says. He says, because he, and I'm just going to read this like it's me, because I put my name in the Bible when I'm reading. I don't know about y'all. So if I'm going through a battle, I can say, this is God talking to me. And you put your name in, plug it in. Because Tanya has set her love upon me, therefore will I deliver her. I will set her on high because she has known my name. Is he your healer? Is he your protector? Is he your guide? Is he your strength? Whatever it is that you are calling on him for, that's what he's going to be. And that's how he's going to manifest himself to you. She shall call upon me and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life will I satisfy her and show her my salvation. When we call upon God, when we call his name, speaking forth the word of God in faith, he hears us. And he's not just going to sit there. If you hear your child outside screaming, are you just going to sit there? You're going to jump up and you're going to run and you're going to go to that child. So when God hears us and we're calling upon him and we're saying, Lord, you know, you're my healer. I don't care what this, I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the report says. I speak grace to that. I call for healing. So it's going to be what you speak. Amen. Coming forth out of your mouth. And he says, I will be with him. Where? In trouble. In the midst of you speak. That is when you don't be silent. You know, sometimes the enemy can hedge us in. And we are so fearful. We can't say anything. But even in those times, if you can't say anything but Jesus, God will hear it and God will honor it. So don't ever allow the enemy to make you silent in your test, in your trial. Because, you know, sometimes things just don't make sense. Don't try to reason it out, because the enemy is just stupid anyway. So there are just going to be things that don't make sense and you don't know how to handle it. But God does. And in the midst of that situation, in the midst of that circumstance, in the midst of that trial, you can say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is. But Lord, I'm just trusting that you will bring the right people across my path. Lord, I believe that I have the mind of Christ and it is your wisdom that is formed within me. So I'm just going to take some time. I'm going to pray in the spirit and I'm going to draw that wisdom out. Lord, you're going to give me understanding. You're going to enlighten the eyes of my understanding so that I will know what it is on the inside of me that I have to defeat this, to overcome this. Amen? Because we are overcomers. You know, and Pastor Stephen sings that song. It is so anointed. We are anointed. Not to sit down, not to fall, but to rise up. We are overcomers, anointed to do what? That sounds like victory to me. What does it sound like to you? Victory. Amen. Go with me to Zephaniah 3:17, because I love this. And when I was writing in my notes and just looking at these words and going through everything, I was just like, wow. This is so awesome. It gives us a picture of God and his attitude towards us. And I make it personal, so I may not read the way you're reading. And plus, my notes are just kind of thrown together, so forgive me. But the Lord my God, in the midst of me, is mighty. What was Pastor Jerry preaching about this morning? God in us, God in me, God in you. If there are demons in the building that came in with anybody, all they should see is light because of the God that is in us, right? Am I correct? The Lord, my God, in the midst of me, in the center of me, is mighty. And that mighty means powerful, warrior, champion, strong. So I look at it like this. My God is a champion, a powerful warrior who has all the strength necessary to annihilate the enemy. He will save. That means that he will cause me to be safe. He will defend me. He will deliver me. He will help me. He will preserve me. He will rescue me, bring salvation, get victory. He will rejoice. He will be bright and cheerful over me with joy, which is joyfulness, pleasure, and glee. He will rest, which means he will not move. It's like he's engraven. He's fixed. In his love for me. I love that. Let me read that again. He will rest in his love for me. That means that he will not move. His love on the inside of me is not going anywhere. His love on the inside of you is not going anywhere. But in order to access it and to experience it and to have a manifestation of it, you have to know it's there. And you can say, God, thank you for loving me so awesomely, if that's a word. And then this last one, it says, he will joy over me with singing. And that joy, I wish Jamie could get up and demonstrate this for me. But it means to spin around with violent emotion. So can you imagine God just twirling around? Singing over us, joying over us. He's happy. He's a happy God. And his singing is shouts of joy, gladness, rejoicing, shouting over us. Happy, happy. I just thought that was so awesome. I just thought that is so awesome. So the promise of the secret place and the benefits of it are conditional. We make the decision to go there and to dwell. We have to speak forth our faith in the midst of our battles. God will see and honor our faith. Angels are given their assignments to protect us in the secret place of His presence. Our enemies are defeated. God puts us in a high place where the enemy has no access to us. God shows up on our behalf like a mighty warrior, manifesting Himself for others to see. He abides in us and He is not moving. John 15:4-7 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Answered prayer. Can you hear Brother Danny? For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's the key. God is here. He's not going anywhere. He abides in us. He's in a fixed place, a fixed position. He's not moving. But we move. So we have to abide. That means that we have to stay in the Word. Meditate the Word. Keep it before your eyes as much as you can. We have busy lives. But I tell you what, God can give you a strategy. My schedule has changed and everything is different. But God shows me ways to practice His presence, to be aware of Him. One morning I woke up and all I was aware of was His goodness. And I'm like, wow, His presence, it was tangible. You know, when that doesn't happen often, I'm not always going around looking for goosebumps or anything like that. So when God manifests Himself like that, it's just a blessing. Amen? But we have to abide. So if we're going to bear fruit in our lives, we have to keep the Word in us and allow the Word to grow and produce the fruit in our lives that other people can see in us. You might be the only Jesus that people are going to see. It's not going to be so much about what you say, but it's going to be your actions. It's going to be the fruit. It's going to be what people see that is produced in you in your day-to-day life. So you have to be aware of that. He will manifest Himself in us. Philemon 3:6 says that the communication of our faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. My God in the midst of me is mighty. God in the midst of you is mighty. He's a mighty warrior. And He's ready to go to battle for you no matter what it is. No matter what situation that you're facing, He's there for you. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In the Word of God, there is joy. The more words you get in you, the more joyful you are. The more love you have, the more strength, the more grace. It's just chock full of so many things. You know why? Because it's Jesus. It's every little part and every little facet of Jesus. The more word that you get in you, the more Jesus that people are going to see. Let that be your ministry. My prayer for you this week is that you will dwell in the secret place. That you will go to God and you will ask Him to teach you, to show you ways to stay there. Because it's a dwelling place. We are branches connected to a vine. If we are broken off, there is no life for us. We have to stay connected to our very life source. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God that you plant and that you sow to stir it up on the inside of you. to bring forth the revelation and the wisdom that you need to walk it out day by day. God will do that because he's true to his word. Father, I just thank you for this time tonight in your word. I thank you for each and every heart that is present here tonight. Lord, I pray over this week, Lord, that we will just go forth being more mindful of your presence, being mindful of your strength, Father God, that you are a mighty warrior and you fight for us. You love us passionately. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this week. We claim blessings of favor. In Jesus' name, amen.